Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast. If you're looking to become financially free together, this is your show. Here's your host, Elle Martinez.
Welcome to part two of How to Buy the Best Laptop for You. Last week, we were focused on getting the best price on your tech. Today, we're going to look a bit more into the specs, specifically figuring out how much is enough and what's just overpriced bells and whistles. This isn't going to be a debate about AMD versus Intel processors, though my husband has some thoughts on that. We're actually going to be looking at how you're using your tech and finding the best solution for you. Everyone is different, so my answer will most likely not be the same as yours. However, I do want to share some general guidelines to make the decision process easier. I understand the basics of computers. I used to build my own desktops. But as I was sorting through laptops last month, I was just really overwhelmed by the specs that were being thrown at me. And it was very hard to compare between certain laptops. Fortunately, my husband keeps up with tech, so I asked him questions and got his advice as I whittled down my list to a few contenders. Seeing that others are in the same boat I was, I convinced him to come back on the podcast to answer my questions. So if you're in the market for a new laptop, you might want to save this episode and give it another listen before you go shopping. Here with me is the Couple Money Podcast tech consultant.
Hi.
My husband.
Hi.
All right. So here's the situation before we get into my questions, because I was hoping when I was looking for a laptop to kind of have a solution of if you want to do this, pick Z. If you want to do this, pick Y for laptops. But it isn't as easy as I hoped. And my husband was kind enough to explain it to me, and I'm hoping he can re-explain it for you listeners who maybe don't have someone to kind of ask questions for. So can you kind of, let's start with processors, because I think that was the biggest headache for me was, should I go with mobile because I was looking at Ultrabooks? Should I go with the Intel seems to be the big choice, was the i3, the i5, and i7. And intuitively, I'm going, okay, 7 probably is better than 5, 5 is better than 3, or so forth. But it's not as simple as that. Can you kind of get into why that's the case?
Well, first off, for a laptop, you're going to be getting a mobile processor, which is fine. Then there's the Core M, which is basically the super low end, which wasn't mentioned. But we see them when we're looking at listings, and when I see super low end, it's not like it's a low end processor per se. It's designed for low power draw so that the battery life lasts the longest. Might be oversimplifying, but basically it's like a tablet processor.
Okay.
There's probably more to it than that, just as a relative comparison kind of thing here. Typically, unless all you're going to do is tablet-like stuff, basically, you want to avoid the Core M. Of course, if that's all you want to do, browse the web, do email, and some things like that, sure, that would be fine. If you want to need to do something heavier, then you probably want to step up to a more powerful processor, you know, depending on what it is.
Okay.
As for the differences between those processors, on the one hand, yes, i3 is low-end, i5 is mid-range, and i7 is high-end. Problem is that it's like comparing the designations on a car model, the SC, the LX, and all those. You know, here's your Honda Accord SC compared to a Honda Accord LX or whatever the numbers would be. Okay, great. Well, what year are they? That's sort of what's missing when you talk about the i3, i5, i7, is that which generation are they? If you happen to have the full model number, the first number of the 4-digit numbers is going to be your generation.
Yeah, and so that actually
was one of the hard points. I was looking at different sites and everything, and some of them did a decent job at least putting the full numerical name. Some of them didn't have the, I guess, what was you saying, like Broadwell or the other stuff? Some of them didn't have that. They just had the numbers, and I was confused about that.
Well, if you have the numbers, at least the higher number, at least for the very first digit, is going to help you. Then the rest of them sort of becomes a jumble unless you go and actually look at Intel's website and try to compare them directly, and then you get a whole bunch of numbers that probably don't mean anything to you if you're asking, which one should I get?
Okay. And that's tough. I will say, like, sites like Amazon. You go to Amazon because you're looking at prices and cheapest. Not all the time, but a lot of times they did a decent job saying there's, what they would put is, there's a newer version. But that didn't necessarily give me all the details. And sometimes they said newer version, but this other specs on the computer didn't work out. So
the funny thing is that the even for the processors, the newer version isn't necessarily better than the previous version, depending on various factors.
Like what?
Just a hypothetical. You might be able to get a faster processor for cheaper than a previous generation. You know, maybe a previous generation i7 might be cheaper than a current generation i5 or something.
Okay.
Just hypothetically, I haven't compared numbers or anything, but you know, for the bang for your buck, could be different depending. You know, sure, if you go for the i7 for the current generation, the fastest one available, yeah, you're probably getting the fastest thing available. You're also going to be paying a lot of money for it.
Yeah. So I guess taking a step back, one of my questions is, where processors are at this level right now, would it make sense to kind of look more towards the i7? When would it make sense go more towards the i3?
And again, it always depends on what you're going to do. And since everybody is going to be doing something different, it's a really, really difficult question to answer. If you're going to be doing something that is more processor intensive, you're going to want to go for something a bit higher. Basically, the guideline is that the i5 is the mid-range. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing anything that's a decent amount of processor work, you probably want to go at least to a recent i5 generation.
Okay. Now, you have an i7 for work, and I bought an i5. So can you maybe describe why an i7 works for you in your situation?
Doing software development, a faster processor means I test and run code faster, get to compile it faster, run it, debug it, all those other things. A lot of work processor has to do, working with the IDE and other things. And then even in your case, if you're doing some graphics editing, you're going to benefit from having a i7 versus an i5, depending on how much you're doing and how heavily you're doing it. On the other hand, because it's a laptop, that's not your primary working device, you might not need to have quite as much. You might not need to go quite as expensive because you have your desktop for all your primary work, and this is your secondary portable machine. Yeah. And again, that's another factor. This laptop that my work provided me is my primary working machine. It needs to be fast.
Yeah.
I don't have a desktop that I'm going to be doing my majority of my work on. There's no reason to pay for your second machine if it's not your primary machine to be as fast as your first one, unless you absolutely have to.
That's a good point. By the way, if you are still kind of confused with the i3, i5, and i7, there's a great resource, a YouTube channel called Tech Quickie. I'm going to link to it in the show notes, and it kind of gives a very good overview of the differences, but you will see fairly quickly why it is so confusing for the average buyer with a laptop, not just to go by that number 3, 5, and 7, that there's so much more to it.
Yeah, and in that video, he's 100% correct in that the naming is really annoying to try to figure out what means what. It's meant to be simple, but didn't turn out that way. Also wanted to add in, Intel also has their product names, Broadwell, Haswell, Skylake, so on and so forth, that are used as a name for the generation. Problem is knowing, well, which name here means which generation. You still have to go and look that up, and then you have a new one come out and figure out what that one is. It's like with the Mac OS you know, names, which cat is the most recent? I don't know.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to include a link to that page on Intel. Hopefully they won't change it in the near future, so it'll make it easier at least for you to kind of decipher through when you're shopping.
Yeah, but basically, you do professional work, i7, gaming, i7. If you're doing work but not work to the point where your processor is chugging on your current machine, you might be able to do with an i5 fine. It's decent graphic editing stuff. You start getting professional high-end stuff, then you know you want to move on to the more powerful processor. And of course, gaming is always, if you want to get
the
best. Well, I mean,
it's how you use it. It's how you use it.
It's one of the bigger, it's a big determining factor, but not everyone is going to be into running the latest games.
Yeah.
If you're running Facebook games, i5 is probably fine. I have no idea what an i3 would do. It'd probably be fine, but
if you're running Facebook games, do not friend me.
Or at least don't send her game requests.
All right, let's go to the next big number that a lot of people look for when buying a laptop.
The price tag.
Okay, let's look for the third number that people look for when buying a laptop, which is RAM. Like, how much is enough and how much is kind of, like, great to have? You know, again, considering, you know, people have different budgets. So where is it a great investment and when is it going to just be a waste of your money?
I mean, 8 gigabytes right now is what you want to have. It's cheap enough that there's no point in going lower, and it's more than sufficient for most needs. You can go with more, and that won't be a problem. On my work laptop, I was actually hitting, or my work desktop previously with 8 gigs of RAM, I was actually running out of memory quite often. So my new one has 16 gigs, and I still don't use up the on the new one, I haven't started getting up to the barrier of 8 very often, but when it does, it's nice to have that little bit, that extra breathing room. 12 would be actually fine, but hey, work provided to me, I'm happy with it. You can actually see how much RAM you are using by right-clicking on the taskbar and going to Task Manager if you're using Windows, and you can click on the tab and see how much memory you're currently using. If you want to get an idea of, you know, once you have all your stuff loaded up in your current system, you can see how close am I to the maximum amount of RAM. I mean, there's a little bit more to it than just, you know, am I using all of it? But you'll see a graph and some information that will help you to decide that. Anyway, you can determine how much RAM you're using on your current system is the point, so that you can see, you know, is my current amount enough? Would it be helpful to have more? You know, if you're butting up it and you have all your stuff loaded up, probably want some extra breathing room. When you run out of memory, your system performance tanks. What it does is it starts swapping out the actively used memory to your storage device, in order to make room for everything. However, your storage device is a lot slower than RAM. So it's called thrashing, and your performance tanks when your system does that. And it just slows to a crawl until it gets everything sorted out. Then it'll go to a crawl again when it has to go and sort everything out again once it changes and has to pull it back from your swap space.
Okay, so now hearing what you're saying, and I'm thinking, if you're the type of person, or if you're a person getting, let's say, a laptop with the i7, would it be fair that, you know, if you're already spending that extra money for that processor, to upgrade maybe the RAM because you are using, you are requiring it. So, like, would 8 be enough, or should you consider right out of the gates to go with
something else? Everyone's use case is different. Someone might be doing something that's processor intensive, but not memory intensive. There are a lot of things that people do that are more processor intensive. Well, gaming is usually more, it's memory intensive, but 8 is fine right now for most games. I mean, that's going to be changing at some point.
Yeah.
But processor is a little more important. Actually, the video card's the most important. But the processor is more important than RAM, as long as you have a sufficient amount. A lot of them don't use full 8. Until recently, they weren't even using more than 4 gigs at a time.
Okay.
But having the extra space is good, because you have to have room for everything else that's running on your system. You have to have room for you know, if you're running Skype or other chat clients, Twitter, web browser, music, whatever else you might have running on your system, apart from the operating system itself. So you need a little bit of buffer beyond just what your primary application requires. Video editing, graphics editing, audio editing, those things require a lot of memory. So having more for that is always useful, especially as you get to bigger and bigger projects. But not everyone does all of that.
Okay. You mentioned storage devices, and that's kind of a debate we had because hard drives were so cheap, you know, terabyte. But I went with a solid state drive. And kind of as a recap, what would you say are pluses for the solid state drive, and what are the pluses for having a huge hard drive?
Well, pluses for having a huge hard drive is you can store a lot more stuff, especially, you know, especially if you're doing video editing or audio editing, you might have a lot of samples that you need to store, and having a huge storage space is going to be helpful for that. On the other hand, for a laptop, typically an SSD is going to be your best choice. Sure, larger storage is going to cost a lot more, but for a laptop, with an SSD drive is going to give you, it's going to be more durable. It's not going to have the same potential for a head crash that a hard drive would. It uses less battery power because it's not physically spinning a disk around any mechanical parts, and it's faster. Improved performance, and it's more durable because, again, you don't have mechanical parts that can get knocked around. On the other hand, you can store a lot more with a hard drive, which makes a hard drive, particularly, you know, for a desktop, a hard drive is a bit more sensible, I would say. But for most modern laptops, typically the SSD is going to outweigh it. On the other hand, if you're going to need to do just a massive amount of storage on your laptop, and it's your primary computing device, then yeah, you know, now you have to weigh the pros and the cons. But as a general advice, SSD is probably the best choice for a laptop in particular. A little murkier with the desktop. You know, actually, you might want to consider having an SSD and a hard drive and a desktop, because you have room for both. Mm-hmm. That way you get the ton of extra storage, but you get the speed benefits for your storage for whatever you need to store, but you get the speed benefits on your main drive for your operating system. Wow. And having much faster boot times.
Okay.
And loading up applications. And some things just don't need the same amount of speed.
Thanks, and I hope that helps you guys out when you are shopping for a laptop.
Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the Couple Money Podcast. You'll get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. It's easy and free. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also leave a rating and review of the show on any of those sites. I'd love to hear what you think. The feed is also available on couplemoneypodcast.com, so you can grab it on whatever service you prefer. Next week, we're going to be discussing budgets. Ooh, sounds like fun. Seriously, what do you expect? I'm a personal finance blogger and podcaster. I think they're awesome. But if you're like the other 99% of the population, then you might be happy to know I'm only going to be looking at budgets for people who hate to budget. I'm going to give you ways you can tell your money what to do without having to track every penny. Until that exciting time, take care and have a great week.